Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's a Wednesday, as usual. Tabi Singh Dubazana is in studio with us in the flesh to answer all the questions that we have. I think in the past week, people have been asking, so when is she coming? When is she coming? We've got these questions. We've got these questions. I don't know why they can't wait or call your office. Unless if you've been very busy at the office
and people, maybe. I don't know.
maybe they've been calling you directly at the office. Okay. Good evening and welcome, Tabi.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yes. Always lovely having you today. We are discussing.
So I came across, as usual, I'm inspired by my cases to talk about things that people go through. And as always, I got consent. So the crime of possession of suspected stolen items or something that is illegal.
Yes. Right? Suspected.
Yes. The operative word is that there's a reasonable suspicion from the officers that are stopping you or whatever the case may be. Right.
Do you always have to know or prove to have known that the goods are stolen?
No. But what you... Yes, sorry. I'm lying. Yes, you have to always know that the goods are stolen and that you were in possession of it intentionally for the purpose that they were stolen.
Let me give you an example.
Yes.
So maybe we were at a party. Mm. Like maybe there's a party here at Kaya. And we've got lots of guests and our parking bay is full.
Mm.
And we decide, okay, we're all going to be parking behind one another. No problem. Anyway, we're all leaving at the same time. And then for some reason, I have to leave.
Mm.
But Ntabi Singh is very kind and sweet. And she says, no, don't worry. You are parked in. I came in last. Here are my keys. Go wherever you need to go. Right? And then I quickly run out of here. I've got my license. It's all good. And then I'm stopped by the cops, who are asking, no, everybody, it's a normal routine thing. And then they say, ma'am, do you know this car is stolen?
Mm.
Hi. Asiak. Can't I be saying?
Yeah.
Ma'am, do you know this car is stolen? What is supposed to happen then?
See, at that stage, they have a reasonable suspicion that the item or the car in that situation is stolen. This is exactly why I want to talk about this. Because at that moment when you're arrested, you don't have to know for a fact.
Wait. So they can arrest. Even if I say, Batum, I can go show you. Hasiaka. It's not mine. I promise you it's not mine. This is not my car. I just asked a friend to lend me a car for a few minutes. I can even show you or take you to this person. They can arrest me.
Correct. That's exactly what happened, even though it's not about the car, with this particular instance. It was a situation whereby there was a tip-off that so-and-so who committed such a crime is here. Unfortunately, the client in this particular instance was sleeping over because they were looking for a place to live.
Yes.
And then they had gone to go view and then it was too late to go home. It was a situation, no, go sleep in the spare bedroom. Go to the spare bedroom and pass out. Around about 2 a.m., there are cops.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And then when they search the room,
yes,
they find ammunition in there. So bullets. In the drawers.
In your friend's spare room.
You know.
Spare room.
So because that person
was the one sleeping in that room.
Yes, that person ended up being accused number two in that particular matter. Accused number one is the owner of the property. So that's the downside, unfortunately, of criminal law. You are quote unquote guilty.
You've got to be you've got to prove yourself.
Yes.
So you will go in, you'll be arrested, you'll be charged.
Yes. So the defense for this particular crime is that you must give a reasonable explanation. So with your explanation or that theory that you gave, when you give a reasonable explanation, you can actually show the police officer, this is Ntabi Singh, this is the car, this is everything, and they still arrest you.
The problem, though, it will change. So the house thing is slightly different.
Yes.
It's not a movable asset. But what if Ntabi Singh completely denies, Hori, I don't know what she's talking about.
Exactly.
This is her problem. I want Raela.
Exactly.
I have no, I don't know what she's talking about.
Exactly.
Including the house owner, by the way, who can say, no, well, this person sleeping in there, was I supposed to search them?
Mm.
What then?
So in that situation, unfortunately for you, you're going to get arrested. You are going to get arrested. And depending on what kind of goods or items that you have on you, it's either, it can range from a normal Schedule 1 offense if you've got no previous convictions and pending cases, or you can find yourself dealing with a Schedule 6 bail application because it's a truck. I remember I did a case in Nigel where this person was found in possession of a stolen truck. So they were co-workers in the trucking business. What he didn't know is that he didn't have permission, that his colleague didn't have permission to drive the truck. So the colleague stepped out to go to the loo or whatever. The police arrive while this person is the one sitting in the truck waiting for the person who's driving to come back from the loo. When the guy stepped out of the garage and saw the cops again happening, and he was never
found.
He never came back. You know, so that truck is over 500,000 if I'm not mistaken. So now it's a Schedule 6 bail application. It's a Schedule 6 offense. Now you have to prove and give to the court a reasonable explanation as to why you were found in possession of that. So now you go through a whole trial only because of something that you could...
Goodness.
Yeah.
So what then is our duty all the time? So if I, so what then is my duty when so that I don't find myself compromises by something that doesn't belong to me?
So the first thing is that before you drive off with that car, ask the person who owns that car, or if you're in a vicinity such as that, I know it's not possible, but try. Make sure that car is clean, because there'll be drugs sometimes in there, a little weed here, a little whatnot. If you are stopped and you're found in that car, that weed belongs to you.
Yeah.
You know, and now you have to prove that it's not yours. So ensure that whatever item that you are using, you are able to prove where it comes from, because your defense is simply to give a reasonable explanation that that an objective person would believe that is the reason that you're found in possession of this particular item.
It's like walking through the airport or wherever. I want to just go to the bathroom. Please hold my bag.
Yes.
And then you are kind enough. Or someone says, please keep my queue spot.
Yes.
I'm coming back. Leaves the bag there.
Mm.
And you are the one right next to the bag.
Yes.
Mungadi peka hasali.
Yes.
You are the next. In other words, you are next to the bag.
Correct. Therefore, it ought to be yours.
Therefore, you are going to take responsibility of that bag.
Exactly.
So the answer is no.
No. Always no, because you don't know. You can be the kindest it's unfortunate because our society is getting to a point where you can't help people because you don't know.
And also, a criminal is not going to come looking like a criminal, guys.
Yes.
Like, they're not going to have a scar across their face. Like, you know, as a movie.
Yeah.
As a movie. Otrofita ale pretty.
Very.
Very pretty, very very polite, very nice.
Yeah.
Eh. Kya kopatu abaubite mme.
Eh. That tompo yotli.
Abaubite all kinds of things. Kanti. Kanti. So the answer is always no.
The answer is always no, because you're going to find yourself now answering for things you can't give an explanation to. I have another matter where unfortunately this person, it's also a wrong place, wrong time kind of situation. But then he has proof that the things that he is told were stolen, he has proof of purchase. But in the space between his arrest, investigation, and trial, the items have now all of a sudden gone missing. So now he
can't prove.
Explain
that. Let's explain the case.
Yeah. So long story short, it's a possession of copper copper cables. So damage to infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know how bad it is.
Yeah.
So in the search of the vehicle, copper cables were found.
Yes.
He gave an explanation, but because he didn't have the proof of purchase.
What I went to buy?
Yes, he has proof of purchase. So what his job is that he deals with those coppers, connect to some kind of, that machine,
mm-hmm.
and then he services cars with it.
I see.
So he bought it on eBay, he has all of this, and they are named per the car that it's supposed to be connected to.
And he's got
to
the eBay receipt. He's supposed to have the eBay receipt.
Yes, but then he didn't have them on him at the on time. That day.
Mm.
So all he requests is like, allow me to just,
give you the receipt.
Yes, that was not given to him. And that opportunity, rather, was not given to him. And then those copper cables that had names of, this is, for example, this
for
is
what?
A Renault, whatever, it connects to a Renault and all of that. They have now disappeared. So now...
How?
In the SAP 13.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So they confiscated the stuff?
Yes.
And arrested him?
Yes.
So now the case is on?
Yes.
Hadi Sali?
Yeah.
But he's got proof now?
Correct.
That he bought on eBay or whatever the case may
Correct.
Be?
Correct.
So what then happens then?
So now the...
They can't verify?
That's the thing. Because
how?
Now Botoba Transnet have come and said... They don't say that on that particular day, copper was stolen. We have proof of it. They say that in general, there's been a theft of copper cables and. But now if I don't have the SAP 13 to say my copper cables should read this, which is what you guys took, now there's nothing there for me to verify against. They also don't have anything for them to verify that what they confiscated on the accused is what they're claiming in their statement.
So the state then would lose the case then at this case?
Yeah, it ought to, but we'll see how that goes. But this is the situation. Now you are now 2 years into a case trying to clear your name, whereas it could have been dealt with quick, fast, in a hurry by just getting your proof of purchase or whatever, your reasonable explanation. And courts always emphasize that the police must actually give you that opportunity to give a reasonable explanation before they actually arrest you. If it's something that is tangible that can be done, do it rather
because
than
because the backlog is just so unnecessary.
Yes.
In the courts.
Yes. And now with this particular case that I'm referring to with bullets that were found.
Mm.
Now they have to now go and take them to forensics. So
what were the bullets? What does the person say the bullets were for?
The owner of the house? Mm. He says he doesn't know.
Are you seeing now? You guys, the friends you keep.
He's saying that the friend, the friend,
no.
A friend
you see
went
now.
Goopy goopy
you
and
see
therefore,
now.
You see.
Aye.
So that's the situation there. So the,
so the is owner saying, is denying this.
The
thing.
Owner is denying the
you
bullets.
You see now. You see.
So now it's putting
the guest.
Yes.
The poor guest.
The poor
Onale
guest.
Matata already.
Already.
the guest already had problems.
Yes.
Now they've got
now
more problems.
Adding.
Oh no, man.
Yes. So now you're going to wait for forensic evidence to see if there are fingerprints on the bullets, whether the fingerprints are going to match the accused person's, etc., etc. They're going to check if that bullet was used or anything similar to another crime somewhere. All those things. Now you have to go through all of those, even though you've given an explanation, until the investigations are completed.
How do you... I mean, there are times where you cannot verify.
Yes.
Something you are buying yours. You are buying as a customer.
Yeah.
You are buying maybe a stolen product.
Yeah.
Or goods.
Mm.
How then do you secure yourself? Because you still would be liable for theft if you are the one with the goods in your possession.
The beauty of you having purchased is
yes.
that you lacked the mens rea, the intention
yes.
to actually possess the stolen item, because
mm.
the impression that you had the impression that you had when you purchased the item was that it's legit
mm.
and there is paperwork, or whether it is WhatsApp messages or whatever, and there is payment that comes from you to this particular person to buy this. So when it comes to you being charged, if you have all of that, you really won't be charged. I've seen a lot of cases where it's withdrawn, but then they use this person who's purchased
to find the seller.
Yes, so that person can then be charged with either robbery, hijacking, or whatever.
How do countries, maybe let's stick to this one, deal with matters of counterfeit goods?
Ooh. So that was my first case ever doing a trial.
Okay.
In my entire career.
Yeah.
So my first case.
Because Lily too, you know.
Yeah.
You both know. For Henbeki. Henbeki.
Yeah.
Asion. Henbeki. You know very well.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. As she goes around selling these as a side hustle.
Hey.
Asiona.
He's not the one.
And all I want is to be seen with this bag.
Hey.
So that everybody thinks I've got money.
Yes.
Mar, in actual fact, I can't even achieve it. Mar, I can't make it. And I can't make a poster. Eh? Instagram me, Amy. Eh?
Stories are waiting.
And though. I went out to the bag. And we all know it's not true. It's fake.
Yeah.
Mar, I mean, a little pose there, a little bit of a side inyana, they're not going to know this is fake. But the truth is, asyon.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there is, let me speak on counterfeit money and then go to actual clothing.
You want to talk about real stuff?
Yeah, no, that one was a hectic one. So my poor guy went to go and withdraw money from an ATM. Met a friend who said, okopa change.
Yo.
And then in that change, amufa tutlipa, which was
counterfeit.
Yeah. Goes into ShopRite, goes and purchases whatever.
My word. And it's fake.
And it's fake.
My word.
So when he gets in, they check, you know, back then it was a huge thing that they check.
It's a thing.
Yeah. So they would check it, and then under the UV light, it showed
Oh my gosh. That's so cruel.
Sure.
That is so cruel.
And that was my first case.
I was scared. I didn't know what to do. It's not kind.
And then so they had him arrested and
oh man.
And all of that. And when the trial started, the main thing that we needed to prove is whether he had the intention to defraud ShopRite.
Yeah. Yes.
And we were lucky enough to show that if indeed, because there was video footage that showed him drawing money from the ATM.
Oh my gosh.
And because the ATM and ShopRite is close, they're close by, they could see him speaking to somebody and exchanging money. And then with that piece of money, he went in and he bought. That's the only reason.
How lucky is he?
Yes.
That he was next to a camera.
Yes.
With all of that evidence.
Other than that.
Because had they been a few meters away with no cameras and the money didn't come from the ATM?
Yeah.
And maybe, because if they were just exchanging money and no one's hearing what dialogue is there, we could be like, co-conspirators.
Yes. Yes. And another thing that worked for him is that he had more than, I think, 4 or 5 other 200 rand notes, of which when they checked, they were legit. So yeah, him paying with this one
sometimes doesn't care. They say you definitely want to go.
But that worked for him in that instance.
Oh my word.
So, you know, that was a very interesting one that I dealt with there and was very happy that I won for the poor old man. He was an old man.
Oh, okay.
He was an old man.
Let's come back to my handbag.
So now with the handbags.
My LV.
Handbag. Yeah. So unless LV goes and opens a case against you, Pimero, that we saw that you were carrying a counterfeit bag, or we are aware that Ostoka your counterfeits in this particular place, nothing really happens, to be quite honest. If the designer or the person who holds the copyright of that particular item does not do anything about it, no one is going to get arrested.
So I think there was what was that brand? It was a Soweto brand, very popular brand, which actually sank because of counterfeit.
That's a Luxian culture.
Luxian culture.
Yes.
And I don't know who they tried to sue at some point.
Yeah.
But Luxian culture was all over North Street.
Yes.
All over. Every corner. It was just there.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lawsuit.
Yes.
But it didn't save them.
I think what if I remember just a
there
little
were hawkers,
bit of the case,
I think, who were just in jail selling Luxian culture.
Because you can't pinpoint where they get it from.
Yes, that's the thing.
The person who's actually creating this particular item that is now sinking yours.
Yes.
It was difficult to sue a Ntabiseng or a Pimelo who's got it from wherever to go sell it starting. Think that is the main thing that made them sink.
Not go far.
Yeah, so had they gotten the actual culprit, who's the one who's designing the shoes or the t-shirts or whatever, the way in which they were, it would have been a completely different story.
Let me take a quick break. And as I said, you know, it's free consultation only until she leaves this building. 086-000-00959. You can send your voice notes. You can send those questions on WhatsApp on 063-688-0959. All right, and Tabi Seng Dubazana is here. We're discussing all things, I suppose, was it stolen possession?
Stolen, possession of stolen items, goods. Yeah.
Okay, and I was saying to you now, what if then we have a different kind of a case where there's an issue of copyright, I think it's copyright, where a bigger brand steals from a smaller entrepreneur, a smaller brand trying to make themselves a name in this town or whatever. And they now, because they have got the distribution, they've got the money and all of that, they think they can get away with just stealing. I think it was Maxhosa who went quite big on, with LV, I don't know how that case went, but they did take them on for trying to take their print and commercialize it in that way.
So in that situation, I would firstly, when you open up your business and whatnot, you correct, copyright everything down to your name. Let your name be your name. I remember I was...
Okay, wait. So now copyright interview. I'm just checking. Okay.
of the name that you are out there with, like Maxhosa all of that.
Dubazana Incorporated.
Yes,
is taken care of.
Is taken care of. Nobody else can use it, and all of that. Make sure that's your first step. I remember I once came across a case where it's about 2 years ago. It was MAC washing powder.
Yes.
It was suing a smaller Nyana company that had nothing to do with washing powder, but the name was MAC. It was short for, I don't remember what the acronym stood for, but they were informed by the attorneys of MAC to say, change your name, because when people say see MAC, they are going to associate your brand with ours, and if you do not follow what we're saying, we're going to sue you for that. So you need to be very careful. That's why CIPC, when you now put on your
they tell you what's been taken, what's available.
So that you don't find yourself in hot
too
water.
Close, yeah.
Yes. So it's the same thing. Whenever you are now, even before you're known and your brand is out there, clothing, poetry, whatever the case may be, make sure that all of that is already covered in terms of copyright and all of that. But when you are trying to get a bigger company to punt you, or you're in association with that bigger brand, always make sure there's an NDA that is signed between yourself and the parties that are involved. And that NDA has to be very airtight, so that they are not allowed to talk about your brand or anything related to the agreement without your presence, without your input, and everything around that, because you will find yourself in a situation where Ntabi Seng now takes your entire thing and runs with it and then claims it has been their idea the whole time. Lalo.
Anonymous, thanks so much for calling and holding. You are in Katlehong. Good evening and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Guys, like on a serious note, this is a seriously intriguing topic.
Yeah.
This thing is run by other people. Like, we've been... Yo, guys, EIP, Ichontwe, wonk umuntu, ichontwe, EIP. Like, from film, from multimedia, guys, it's not us. It's people who are running this thing on a higher level, and I think that's where we must start looking. Not us. It's fine. People can just steal because some people are just sending them to steal other things because they are popular. But this is worse. Honestly,
I think perhaps what I, if I'm understanding you properly, when you are pitching an item to a media house or whatever, then they run with it without you going forward. Am I correct?
Yes. Those are just the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you start going there trying to fight for your IP. They want even more, and then they take that for your case. Ends up nowhere.
Whenever you go into such negotiations, please don't go in there alone. I know people don't like lawyers, but they're there for a reason. So in entertainment law, there's different kinds of contracts for different kinds of agreements that can be made between producers, between executives, between directors, and all of that. We have access to those templates so that they can protect you and the other party, so that you guys don't find yourselves in situations where you're now suing each other and all of that. And I know it's not popular with most people that now you're bringing an attorney. Are you saying you don't trust me? No. And all of that. But please, just approach an attorney. Make sure that you are covering yourself before going into such things.
Mama, please help everyone. Mm. To help everyone. Because people are even giving up their talents because of people who are just taking their IP and...
Yes. No, right. Thank you so much, Nepo Dwam. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye. So sometimes an IP is tricky.
Yes.
Because an IP can be something so difficult to pin down.
Yes.
It's not necessarily a big idea. It's not necessarily a name or a logo. Sometimes it could just be. Hi, man. Like, wula chicken dust, yeah, how next dolly omu. And there's a particular spice.
Mm.
Or I think Krispy Kreme has got an IP on their recipe.
Of donuts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because they do taste different to other donuts.
Mm.
I think they do. So the actual product itself, it can be protected.
Yes.
What is that? Because that's not copyright. What is that?
It's what you're saying. It's intellectual property.
Yeah.
It can be protected. That is yours. That's why it is called property. So it is yours to protect. But if you don't do it, somebody can go away with it.
They can steal the recipes.
Yes. I was having a very interesting conversation with my husband the other day in relation to a firearm. A particular firearm has had IP on its brand for years and years and years. And then it actually expired, I think, a year ago or something along those lines. Now other brands are using that model to make firearms that mirror that particular firearm. And they work just as good, if not better. So you need to ensure that when your patent, whenever you put that there, it is protected for at least a number of years, so that you are able to cover yourself, so people don't make money off of your idea. For example, from what I know, Coca-Cola, their ingredient, their recipe is not out there.
Yeah.
It's only known by X amount of people.
It's so those are under lock and key.
Yes. So those are the things that when you decide that you want to sell your idea, intellectual property, make sure it is ironclad. Make sure when you go and approach Ntabi Singh or you go and approach Pimelo that this is what I would like to do. I'd like your buy-in because maybe you have the financial muscle or you have the connections, whatever the case may be. But this is not yours. I'm asking you to have a buy-in. And when Pimelo says, but I want 51%, you have to make sure that you understand what that means. Because that 51% comes with controlling what to do with all of that information.
Mm. I want to take a voice note. In fact, I've got two voice notes. Let's take a listen.
I have a question. I'm living in a family house bought by my parents. They're both late and I'm staying with my partner. And now that we're separating, the house is not in my name as yet. She wants to take the house. What are my rights there? And then what steps must I take?
Okay. First of all, there's no family house. Let's just get that one out of the way. Your family house, because that's where we grew up. So in order to answer that question is whether or not the estates of mom and dad were dealt with.
Were properly wrapped
up. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way that the property can then be transferred into your name or any of your siblings' name. If you don't have siblings, then it's just you. Until then, she really doesn't have any right over the property. And in actual fact, neither do you. Until it's transferred into your name. So please check with the master's office if you know whether or not the estate has been dealt with, and check how far everything is so the property can be transferred into your name. Other than that, just to be clear, she has no claim, neither do you, over the property.
So, Pimela, I wanted to ask, in a case where you are accused of something and you have to go on trial, for an example, that ShopRite story that Tyson has just spoken about, you are then arrested and then you go on trial. In terms of companies, what do they do when you are an employee and you are arrested and you are going on trial? You have not been found guilty yet, but you are in jail. What happens then? It made me think about your job. What happens?
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
Because you are not yet proven guilty.
Mm.
But the case can take a long time.
Yes.
What then?
Firstly, just come clean with your employer. Let them not find out through the gossip
mill. Social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Let them find out what's happening through you. But that's very true. Tell your employer, and then they don't have a right to fire you just because you are attending a case. And yes, I know it happens that the employer is like, but Onka, too much leave because you are appearing every second month or every month and for postponement and stuff.
Would their only gripe be the leave, or would their other gripe be
what the charge is?
Dodge.
Yeah,
you've got body criminal cases. We're not sure, hey?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I've heard this. How about you take the time to go do what you need to do, okay? Why don't you go do what you know, let's release you so you can deal with
out.
You can do what you need to do. And when all of that is sorted, we can then have a conversation.
Don't fall for that.
Is that legal?
Don't fall for that. It is legal because it doesn't sound like, quote unquote, it doesn't sound like they're firing you or they're releasing you and all of that. But then they give you the impression or the hope that once everything is done, your employment is still intact, which usually is not the case.
Problem is that if they say, look, you know, you're bringing the company into disrepute. You know, if especially you're a very prominent person, the association, you know, for the company to be in the news for the wrong reasons because of you.
Yeah.
And we know we know you're innocent. We know you. But you know, just so that, you know, we just think you should take the time. To just clear up the matter, and this is always home. This is always home.
Sounds like you've been through this before. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have a friend, I'm telling you.
Always refer them back to their own code of conduct. What does that code of conduct say?
You are bringing the company to disrepute.
What does your code of
you
conduct
are bringing
say?
The association.
No.
You are bringing the company into disrepute.
No.
You know, look, it's just very awkward because our clients, you know, we are going to lose business because of you, our association with you. And anyway, you understand how these things work. All we're saying is, why don't you take the time to clear up all that has to be cleared up? And you are always welcome here.
As committed,
you know,
in writing.
As you know, you're always welcome here. We'd love to have you, but we just think right now, you know, there's just so much in the media and all of that space, and you know, and maybe you also need to take time off to also just deal with your emotional, and you know, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot. Hey, yeah, Bona. Okay, let me read quickly. Hello guys, I was involved in a car accident in 2018. Car Trek company is still billing me, even if I don't remember that agreement clause, as this account was opened telephonically. Okay, so I hope all in it. But I suspect the car kind of no longer functions.
Yeah.
Doesn't the contract fall off at the point of the accident? What's the response to that?
Not automatically, no, because the contract is not whether or not you have a vehicle. The contract.
What?
The contract.
The contract, Ntabise. Let's talk about the function of a car tracking business.
No, no dispute there.
Car tracking is supposed to be tracking a car that's
moving. Yes.
Hi, Satlole Eliteng. What are we doing?
The contract that you're paying a subscription for you to continue to have cover in the event that you still have a car. It doesn't matter whether the car exists or not. The contract is between you and me. It's not the. It doesn't rely on the fact that there's a car that exists.
Are we all having a blood pressure moment right now? Because this is a very unfair practice.
Yes, it really is. I'm not going to dispute it, but unfortunately, our law states that ignorance of the law is not an excuse. The fact that you didn't read or you didn't understand, it's neither here nor there. And in all,
you no longer have the car to track. Why am I paying for you to track a car that doesn't exist?
Did you go and cancel the contract after the car?
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to phone it. Thank you very much. We're no longer tracking. But they're still billing this person.
Okay, you called. Did you follow up? Did you cancel in writing? What does the clause say?
He says, I think it's a he. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a she.
Yeah.
So the problem is with the telemarketing.
Mm.
This person took this contract via telephone. Mm-hmm. So maybe they never sent the actual documents. Maybe that's the problem. The actual, you know, the
wording.
T's and C's.
Mm.
But they took it upon the person on the other side's word to say, this is what we're agreeing on, and blah, 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 blah. So they don't even know what they were signing up for.
It's not enough. Get the contract, do it in writing.
It's late now.
Well, you owe now. So if you're not paying that, as if they're not debiting you, they're going to claim their money. But now you have to put it in writing. Don't just rely on a phone call.
No, the phone call was the initial agreement.
Yes.
This is what this person is saying. Mm. So she doesn't or he doesn't know what were the T's and C's. It's just assumed that car track, we track car that exists. The car doesn't exist, we stop tracking the car.
No, get your contract. Get your contract. It will tell you what it is you got yourself into.
But why do we allow companies to get away with stealing?
Because we don't know.
We know. We know now. In other words,
yeah.
Whether it's Ombudsman or Competition Commission,
yes.
Whatever the case may be,
yeah.
Why do they still allow companies to operate under these kinds of contracts?
Because nobody goes and does inspections in these these companies. No one from any of these ombuds, no one from any department goes and does inspections. There's a beautiful legislature that is on the way that says the labor department has to come in and check if you are employing 50 or more people. All those wonderful things that are being said, but practical side of it, it is not going to happen. It doesn't happen.
If the law says... You cannot be soliciting money unfairly from customers, and that's the law, right?
Yeah.
Even if I did not know.
Yes.
Why is it that these people can still get away with debiting you and still get away with saying, well, you know, whatever? If the law states that, clearly the law should be on my side when the case like this arises.
They rely on the fact that you do not know and the fact that you consented.
Why is it in the contract? Can the law say or legal practitioners say, well, actually, it's null and void, you cannot have a contract like that?
Yes, there is an actual law. You cannot have a mala fide contract.
Yes.
Yes. A contract in bad faith.
Yes.
It can be declared unconstitutional and unlawful. But then if you don't know when, as the person who is being debited or who money is being taken away from you, you won't know that it's a mala fide contract until you bring it to an attorney.
But so, the problem, and I'll be saying, I'm back there again.
Mm.
You know, it's unlike me, little Joe, having a little company and I want to be silly.
Mm.
These are big companies.
Yes.
And many people have the same complaints. Surely people know. Surely the right authorities know that these things are happening. Why do they still get away with it?
Because people do not let themselves use the 7-day cooling off period when you get a contract to have somebody read it and make you understand. We sign because that's what we want. And once you put your signature there, yes, you can challenge it in court, but it's too late by then. You can go challenge it in court that it was a contract that was done in bad faith and all of that, but the second you put your signature to that, you're binding yourself to the agreements that are there. And they can defend and say, we gave you the contract and gave you the time to have it perused by an attorney. But when are you chose not to do it?
Why are we not finding these companies that we know are busy giving people contracts in bad faith?
Because most people don't take them on.
No. What? There must be institutions. Because I don't have the money to take them on. So there must be institutions that are out there, as I said, competition commission, whatever the case may be.
They have backlogs. The ombuds are sitting with matters up to their heads, wherein it's complaint after complaint that they don't have enough resources. And they only have a certain threshold where they can punish or penalize these people. And they have the money to pay that, and they continue. So, you know, unless and you have the funds to take it to a high court, which can authorize whatever amount, and that's money that most people don't have.
Yastrasan. Yastrasan. No, this is very stressful.
Yeah.
Okay, so where were we? We were at the issue of patent.
Yes.
Patent. So, smaller guy who, I think, I'm not going to say the name of the retailer now, but it's a very fancy retailer here that has been accused more than once, actually.
Yes.
By smaller entrepreneurs, because they do distribute goods for very nice bespoke products. For entrepreneurs who produce bespoke products. That they have this tendency of, and Tabiseng comes with her little tub of, I don't know, hand cream, very nice and whatever. And then they, because they also make their own products under their own name, they simply take Tabiseng's and they say, not good enough for our standards. Not good enough.
Yeah.
Not good enough. Not good enough. But they have the capacity to copy whatever it is that you brought to them. And yes, they may repackage it and all of that. But your thing is your thing. And they'll be like, hand cream is hand cream is hand cream, darling. Hand cream is hand cream is hand cream.
Whenever you go in that initial meeting where you're saying, listen, Pembelo store, I am Tabiseng store wanting to do all of this, please assist me in that meeting. Before you have that meeting, make sure there's an NDA already in place.
You know, Tabiseng, we say this lightly. Listen, wasn't there a case not so long ago? Yeah, Shaka Ilem.
Oh, yes. I heard a little bit about that, yeah.
And many other production companies, for that matter.
Mm.
And you don't need any more proof than the proposal itself, which is there, which was, and meetings and whatever and whatever. And you just get, well. It's very similar.
However.
It's very similar.
Mm.
No, but you never said it was Ilembe.
That's the thing.
So ours is Ilembe.
Mm.
Yours was Shaka.
Mm. That's the thing.
Look, it's very similar.
Mm.
And there are many people who think the story is an important story, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you're not the first person to bring us an idea about Shaka.
Mm.
Lots of production companies, international and the like.
Yeah.
And we just went with the one that we liked.
Yes. That's why I'm saying it's important to go into these meetings with an NDA already in place, so that when you see anything of the sort mirroring whatever it is that you put on the plate, you can already quote and say, you already broken this, and you can actually take them to task. Thing is, we go into these meetings
with the
mindset, yori, this person will not screw me over because they have whatever clout, whatever power, whatever. And instead, that's exactly what they do.
Mm. There's a voice note.
Good afternoon, Ospemelo, Luena, Mr. Buzzard. So my question is with regards to Tabaya divorce. So me and my ex, we separated, and then we both agreed, we're going our separate ways. So now the issue I have is that we were married ka customary law, so basically have paid lobola and all of that. And then now we want to officially divorce. I want to know, firstly, what is the process that we have to take? And secondly, also, what is the least expensive process in terms of making sure that the divorce is there, so that if maybe we want to get married in the future or something else, we don't have any other issues.
Okay. So the first thing, approach an attorney. It's a normal divorce, like it's a civil marriage kind of divorce at the end of the day. So the best way for it to be cheap, for lack of a better term, is settlement. Always agree before you come see an attorney that this is what we are agreeing upon. We are agreeing that the joint estate will divide it like blah, 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 blah. We are agreeing that when it comes to the children, we're going to parent like this and like that. So that when you come to the attorney, we put that in a settlement agreement, you both sign, and then we issue a summons, and then the matter goes on the unopposed roll, and then you're done divorcing. It's always easy to do it in the High Court. I don't know why regional courts are so reluctant to do divorce cases when it comes to customary marriages. So, yeah, that is the easiest way. A bangle agreement before you come to us, so that we are able to help you put it in paper, and then that's that. Because the joint estate, even though... when we follow the letter of the law to the T, it's supposed to be divided 50-50. You, as the parties, can dictate to the court how you want your joint estate to be divided. So, pension fund, or are we even not looking at the pension funds? Who's taking the car? Who's taking the teaspoon? Who's taking this? All of those, we put it down, and then that's that. Makes it quick and easy.
Okay. And Tabi said, we've got another one.
Okay.
Hey, Tracker and Telecom. Both of them. I think all tracking companies, they don't tell you what you are under contract for 3 years. It just advertises what we can track your car, blah, blah, blah. Our service like this and that. Showing when you want to cancel, let's say you have a contract of 3 years, you have to pay a certain amount so that we can cancel a cancellation fee, or else you have to pay for that 3 years, or else they were going to blacklist you.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, very true.
It's not nice.
Far from
it's
it. Not.
And it's the same as saying, even if you paid early,
yes,
and pay, you still have to honor the 12 months or 24 months.
Yes. Yes.
Even if you say, okay, guys, I want to pay you and finish, like a gym contract.
Mm-hmm. Certain gym companies put you in that contract and you're not even aware what you're getting,
and you can't
into.
Come out. You signed,
it is what
you
it
are
is.
Ours for 24 months.
Yes,
it's this that.
Yeah.
Okay, and Tabitha, where do people find you?
So we are in Randburg on HM Terrace, 272 Oak Avenue. We're on the ground floor, suite G2. Otherwise, they can call us on 087-265-8010 or WhatsApp us on 079-654-7523 or send an email to info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. Also, we have a big event coming for next month, mm-hmm. for Will's Week that starts, yes, from the 16th to the 20th of September. Mm-hmm. So we are doing an event in collaboration with Masina Midze, who was here. She's going to deal with that part, with the property part of that. So on the 7th of September, we'll be in Grace Bible Church. Mm-hmm. It's for free. Mm. Bring a friend. Mm. We want to talk to you about deceased estates and wills and marriages and property and all of that. And on the 8th, it will be in Cosmo.
When is that? The 7th
is in September.
Okay.
Grace Bible Church. And then the 8th, which is the Sunday, it will be in the Cosmo City Hall, also for free. For free. Bring a friend.
Guys, it's for free.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ntabi Singh.
Thank you.
See you next week. Thanks, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.